Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. Go to castwavestudios.com and click the boldly going shopping tab and search for everything from Apple iPads to zebra striped Snuggies. Oh, it's so cozy. This supports the studio and helps keep the lights on. Click the boldly going shopping tab at castwavestudios.com.
Boldly Going Nowhere is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, Colin and Brian go on an adventure to Walmart. Frederick is a scary place, and toys are ridiculous now, like Brian's new toy, an annoying sound box. Also, we'll talk about a Cracked article, give you our top 5 tips for podcasting, and talk about ways that we're terrible with money. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 72 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And this is the show that is so popular you've never even heard of it. We're still using that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You said you were going to retire it, but you know, it's kind of back and forth.
Well, I said I was going to retire it, but we didn't come up with anything better. So.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm pretty sure we still are just that popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our level of popularity has not really changed since last week, so we are still so popular that you've never even heard of it. And today, boy, what's on the docket today, Colin? I know you and Brian had an adventure last night.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, let's see. We had just dropped you off after last night. We were helping you with your novel.
Yes, and we spent a delightful evening sitting around at Il Forno's, carrying on and imbibing.
Yes.
By the way, Il Forno's is an Italian restaurant. It's not at all what it sounds like.
Thank you.
Well, so we dropped Justin off. It was about what, 12:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
It was about 1.
All right, so about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on my way back home, and I'm like, I don't really want to go home because I'm not tired and there's really nothing for me to do. So Brian's like, oh, we can just go to Walmart. I'm like, yeah, we can kill a couple hours in there.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I remember wasted hours in the 24-hour Walmart. Just
so I loop around and on the as we're driving through downtown Frederick, we see like 2 cop cars right near the NBC station, you know, where the Mark station is?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
At that 4-way intersection,
sure.
There are about 3 cop cars pulled in front. I've pulled this one car over, and we're like, okay, well, you know, some scenarios, cops are supposed to call in backup. You know, like if it's a male cop pulling up a female, there has to be a female cop present for some reason. I don't know, some law that was instated about that.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
is that true?
Yes, that's actually true.
I don't know why, but whatever.
It keeps her from saying that he molested her or anything like that.
Yeah. Something to that effect. Well, so Brian and I are like, okay, that's not out of the ordinary. But then another cop comes pulling in behind it. And we're like, that's 3 cop cars. Why are there 3?
Drug bust?
Well, that's what we were wondering at first. And then another cop car comes from the opposite direction.
And now up to 4?
Up to 4.
And then a fucking...
Oh, we're not done yet.
Yeah, a police Humvee comes rolling in.
What?
That makes 5. And then we go past the light, and another one comes by, too.
All so converging on the same spot?
Yes.
Yeah.
There were 6 cop cars that converged on this one car.
And we literally were thinking about it. I was like, they must have, like, literally, the cops in Frederick must have literally solved every other crime in the city of Frederick Because, like, seriously, what else is going on that they can all just show up on this one spot?
They have pretty much taken care of everything gangbusters to be able to do this shit. Because, like, I looked in the car, and there was, like, one black dude driving, and then there was, like somebody else in the car, and I'm guessing that must have been it. It's like, oh, there's a black dude.
They got him for a DWB, driving while black.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm like, that's the only thing I can imagine. It's besides, you know, maybe he had a gun or something.
Oh, shit. Right, but still,
I don't know.
We got a black dude driving around in Frederick.
But seriously, backup. Six cop cars? What is the reasoning?
It made no fucking... I have never seen that many fucking cop cars.
Yeah, it's like
is
either
a suspected terrorist. Or
well,
something?
I was like, yeah, it was either A, it was a drug bust. B, it was like. I don't know if someone was gun running.
That'd have to be some serious shit that he's carding, like
right
meth, PCP,
Agent Orange,
smack, dust, shrooms, meth,
downers,
heroin,
whiffers,
uppers, downers,
whiffers,
illegal immigrants.
Yeah, maybe he's smuggling. Yeah, maybe he's smuggling. Immigrants.
Maybe they're working in conjunction with INS
laborers
from where
La Migra.
But so we're driving and we get to Walmart and we're walking around there for a while, and we get back. I mean, we you know obviously go to the electronics section because you know what else is there at a Walmart?
Right.
Right. So we're walking around there for a little bit, and Brian asks me, "Do you mind if we go to the toy section?
They've got foam swords."
I was like, "Well, so I was like, no, not at all. We can do that, right?" So we go over there, and at first, you know, we're sort of whinging nostalgically about certain shit. Like, you know, like, for instance, Nerf guns. Kids have awesome Nerf guns nowadays.
Oh,
they're so sweet looking.
Right?
They make noise and stuff.
Like, they got fucking tac vests for these kids now. I'm like, what the shit is this?
You know, if I ever find myself, you know, with a windfall of cash, first thing I'm buying, one of those Nerf miniguns.
Oh, right? Yeah. The Vulcan? Mm-hmm. That is some fucking
with
sweet
a
shit
Nerf
right there.
Nerf bandolier?
By the way, we noticed something. When the fuck did Nerf buy the rights to Super Soaker?
Yeah.
Because
we looked at the Super Soakers, they're owned by Super Soakers. Apparently, owned by Nerf now.
Which,
well,
which
makes
on the
sense to me.
On the one hand, it's a great idea, but
yeah,
on
I mean,
second hand,
make
like
guns.
I never thought that that would happen. I don't
right.
know.
Well, and
if only they fired liquid foam.
Yeah. Right.
Well, if you need to put out a fire,
not expanding recreational water, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. But so we're walking around, and you know, we saw some other stuff there, and. Like, for instance, we saw Star Wars. Remember the Force Effects lightsabers?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Right. Remember how those costed, like, almost $200 when they first came out?
Oh, yeah.
I bought mine for $300, actually.
Walmart now sells them for, you want to take a guess at the price?
Hold on.
$75.
$39.99.
What? I'm going to get one now.
Yeah.
I think that deserves, you should use the cash register sound.
But, see, here's the downer to that scenario, right? We're looking at them, and there are only two kinds. There was Darth Vader's lightsaber.
And there was...
Qui-Gon Jinn's lightsaber.
Qui-Gon's. Now, they do sell Luke's, and they sell... I think they might sell Mace Windu's, but they weren't in stock there.
But here's the thing, though.
But
when they classify the lightsaber as Luke's lightsaber, it's always the blue one. When did every fucking green lightsaber get classified as Qui-Gon Jinn's? That is bullshit.
So, Brian, you spent $300 on one?
Way back when, yeah. And it was back when...
That must have been, like, when they first came out.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll hold that thought when we get to our question of the week, because that will play into this week's question of the week. So.
Will do.
All right. So, but we're looking around at some other stuff. And, you know, we see the Star Wars, the Force FX lightsabers, and we're like, okay, now that's pretty badass. They're dropped in price. And it's not, I mean, like, they're a little bit shorter than the old ones were.
They're shorter, the handles aren't made of metal, they're made of plastic. And other than that, though, I think it's, like, the same kind of internal
It's the same kind of hardware. Internal sensor and the mold plastic that you can actually hit them and it won't break.
But still sturdy enough that kids can
whack
dispense
each other
savage
yeah.
beatings to their little sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. Like, totally. Like, the cool thing about these things was that, like, when I first bought one, and it's still in these, is that when the light goes up and goes down, if you're in a dark room, it looks like it's actually a blade of light expanding, yeah. Like in the movies. And
whoa, dude.
And it just looks really cool. I'm kind of jealous of, you know, kids nowadays because The first lightsaber I ever had was this big, clunky Luke Skywalker
the
green
cone
one.
The
plastic
the
lightsaber?
Like,
yeah.
Slides out.
And you had to, like, kind of go flunk with.
Yeah, the whoosh, and then you had to make the lightsaber noise.
Yeah.
Well,
and that was really where the whole sort of conversation of the night went once we got on this topic was, like, kids nowadays with toys, they got it way better than we do.
Oh, my God. The toys they have? So complex, so ridiculous.
Well, it's sort of it's good and bad. Like we were looking at the Star Wars toys, and like they had like they were repackaging Star Wars toys because you know that's what Lucas does. He repackages the same shit over and over and over.
Refer to the People versus George Lucas episode.
Well,
yes,
I remember. I wrote about this in a paper for class in college about how. Well, it was there were a couple things. I was talking about toys, the toy industry, the travel industry, and the sex industry, how they all basically sell ideas that are – they sell false realities. I'm not going to get into the technical shit about this paper. I was actually quite proud of it because it was titled The Commodification of Pleasure.
It's quite a thesis.
Yeah. But
that's a good title. I'd read that.
No, it was a really good essay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll share it with something. It's called The Commodification of Pleasure.
I like it. Yeah.
And basically how I drew an analogy between the toy industry, the sex industry, and the travel industry because they don't sell products, they sell experiences.
Huh.
But in the case of toys, the more complex toys get, the less imaginative kids get.
What and that was another thing, like
because
Colin, the dumbest thing we saw there was these WWE figures that like you pull the leg back and whatever part of your body like whatever they light up. So like John Cena's leg would like light up.
What?
And I was like basically we took one of the figures, right? And it's like they had like elastic bands, like you would pull it and after a certain point it would trigger a light inside the leg that would show you're ready for action.
Okay,
right?
that's just bizarre.
Oh, it was fucking weird.
It got even funnier because you pulled on the leg and it lit up, and then if you held on to it long enough, the toy would grunt at you. It'd be like, ugh!
Higher up.
It's been a very long time since I've watched wrestling. Do the wrestlers, their extremities light up now? Is that...
We'll have to get my older brother on the podcast.
But
he's 26, going on 27, and still watches wrestling.
But anyway,
that'll be awesome.
That is a conversation for another day, sir.
Yeah, but so like we were looking at Star Wars, and then as we got further down the lane, we started getting into the Avengers toys. And I'm gonna say this much: Avengers, great movie, shitty toy line.
Absolutely shitty toy line.
But well, here's my point about toys that I was making is that, like back in the day, like when we were kids, and even that's not that long ago compared to like our parents' generation, because they really had to use their imagination. But even us, like I still remember going out into the woods, picking up a stick, and that stick was a sword, it was a gun, it was like a staff, you know, it was everything.
Jimmy, here's a rock. It's a grenade. Go play.
Yeah, rock's a grenade. The sticks are your gun.
Yeah.
No helmets, because helmets are they're for pussies. And that was it. And we liked it. But
we liked it. We loved it. Hallelujah.
Now, if the kid, like, okay, that stick was my lightsaber. That's all I needed. But now if the kid wants to play Jedi, he has to have the Force Effects lightsaber. He has to have the official Jedi robe. And everything else, and he's got to. If he doesn't look like a Jedi, then he can't pretend he is one. But the idea to me, and my favorite line that I wrote in that essay was, I think it was the unreality of play is the basis for its reality, because in order to if you actually are something, then you can't play at it.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to play pirate, if you're an actual pirate, you can't play at being a pirate. That's just...
Right,
because
you're already
a pirate. You are a pirate. It's not fun. You just are a pirate.
That's basically, you're just, you know, you're doing your job in your spare time.
Yeah, so the more realistic you get at something, the less it resembles play.
Yeah. But...
And yet, I still see a lot of videos online of of like soldiers and Marines in Iraq spending their downtime playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
A little bit. But so the Avengers toy line, complete bullshit. Like, I mean, like the toys that, you know, had the buttons work, you know, their voices would come up. Really, really cheesy voice work. I'm like, really? You couldn't pay the actors a couple extra bucks and get their voices?
Really? No. Why couldn't you just get audio samples from the fucking movie?
Well, half the time they can't even get their likenesses for their faces.
I mean, oh, yeah. No, these toys look absolutely nothing like them.
Yeah. Like, Thor looked nothing like Thor.
Thor looked nothing like Thor.
It was just bad. It was like...
Thor looked like he was in pain.
Yeah.
Like, Captain America sounded like he was Kevin Conroy playing Batman for some reason.
You know what it is? Anybody play Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yeah.
Remember how fucking annoying Captain America was in that game?
Yeah.
Good work, soldier!
Final justice!
Yeah. No, seriously. Those were the fucking lines that this action figure was screaming out. It was like, beep! Good work, soldier! Like, what the hell?
Why?
What's the reason? What do you do?
Oh, and let me guess. Their shawarma was sold separately, right?
No shawarma.
Miniature
shawarma. I wish.
Well, I was going to make yet another WWE reference. I was going to say Thor, they couldn't get Chris Hemsworth, so they had to get Chris Jericho.
Aww.
My brother will find that funny if he ever listens to this.
I just had an idea for a painting, by the way. The last shawarma, which is just the Avengers sitting at the table kind of like Christ from the Last Supper.
Already done.
I am going to paint
done?
That.
I'm looking it up now.
Well, no, it's not the Last Supper. It's anybody remember that painting of Philly's restaurant with Marilyn Monroe and Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah. Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Is that the name of the painting?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's basically that painting, but in the foreground, it's the Avengers sitting eating shawarma.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, Sean. Were you suggesting that Green Day is in some way unoriginal? I find that strange coming from you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Are we having two different conversations?
What? I've been waiting a long time for this moment to come. I'm destined for anything.
But all right. So after that whole pleasant experience with, you know, good toys then shitty toys, we went into the board game section, and I saw something there that made me crack the hell up. We were looking at the Battleship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite was, Brian found this copy of Classic Battleship, and then right underneath that, in big bold letters, it said Classic Battleship
Movie Edition.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up on Google Images.
Wait, what? Like, it just... dude, what? How can it be Classic Battleship if it's the movie edition?
And another one that they had there, which really fucking weirded me out,
did it look like that?
What?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
That's it. Look,
so it's in like a weird carrying case, yeah. And it says right on the set, it says "Battle Alien Ships" from the movie. But then it's not Battleship.
Are those the green?
It's not Classic Battleship
because you have the red pegs, the white pegs.
Hold on,
Alien.
Is there a peg for Liam Neeson?
they're fucking better be.
I have a certain set of skills, and skills. These skills are before.
And
Battleship.
The peg for Liam Neeson. If you guess his spot, it's like, oh, you just hit Liam Neeson. Now he's pissed, and he's gonna wipe out your entire fleet.
It's got to be green too.
You automatically lose.
You sunk my Brooklyn Decker.
if you strike Liam Neeson, he becomes Dark Man.
Hey, you hit my Rihanna.
Game is over. Oh, I made Jordan crack up. There it is.
I will find you. I will sink your battleship.
Do you want to hear this review of the Classic Battleship Movie Edition game?
Oh, God. Yes.
Well as the Creo Battleship Combat Chopper set giveaway.
Oh, God. Give me the review.
Okay. Well, it's not really a review, actually. This is a giveaway that someone's doing.
Oh, okay.
As a kid, one of my favorite board games was Battleship. I can remember playing with my stepdad a few times a month and always getting made when I was beat. What?
What?
Getting made?
What was he? He's a,
I think he probably meant getting mad, but that must be a typo.
He's a good boy. He's from Italy.
He's a made man.
He's a made. I'm going to make a big pile of polo spaghetti. Big as your head.
His stepdad, if you let me win, you'll be a made man.
But you got to, like,
I love you with all of my heart. Podcast. We're going to see you soon. I'm going to die.
Yeah, you got to use your
if
hand.
If you let me win, you will be a member of the family. But, Dad, I'm already a member of the family.
No, I mean the family.
Anyways.
Cosa Nostra.
There's a distinct difference, kid. If okay, I use my
okay.
hand.
Okay, I can remember playing with my stepdad a few times a month and always getting made when I was beat. I was so excited to see the classic Battleship Movie Edition game in person. It comes in this unique ship-designed carrying case and is the ideal size for summer traveling. I find that even now I still lose a lot, but I love the game. Battleship. On May 18th, the epic action of the classic naval combat game will unfold in theaters nationwide with the release of Universal Pictures' Battleship, starring Taylor Kitsch, Alexander Skarsgård, Brooklyn Decker, Liam Neeson, and recording superstar Rihanna. Of course, the live action doesn't end with the film.
For those of you who didn't know, Battleship bombed at the box office.
Bomb. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
It's down to one showing a day at our local theater.
Wow, didn't it just come out like a week ago?
Wow.
Like literally a week ago?
About 3 weeks ago, I think.
Okay, I'm sorry. Three weeks ago. But yeah.
And good news, in case you didn't get to see the movie, young naval commanders can go head-to-head with the alien fleet in Hasbro's classic Battleship Movie Edition game. Players choose to command either the Navy or alien fleet and can unleash brand new super weapon cards to destroy their opponent with attacks like those from the big screen.
Oh, wow. Super weapon cards.
The game comes in a convenient carrying case, making it easy to wage your own battles at home or on the go. And then we also have Creo, which I guess is some kind of Lego knockoff. We have Creo. Commanding your own fleet in the Battleship game isn't the only way to recreate your favorite action scenes from the big screen. With the Creo Battleship Combat Chopper set, kids can pretend to take their missions to the skies, complete with a Creon fighter pilot and Creon alien figure. Once the chopper has been constructed, kids can push the lever to spin the rotor and launch missiles at incoming alien attacks like their favorite action heroes from the movie.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, guys. The giveaway ended May 17th at 11:59 p.m., open to U.S. residents only, ages 18 and up.
Oh, no.
All that build-up for nothing.
I'm sorry, guys.
Well, Justin, I'm gonna go ahead and say something here.
There were 2,268 total entries.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe people actually gave it enough of a shit about it, but that's fine. All right, moving on. So after that, we wandered into this one aisle, and we found Legos. And, you know, every kid from our generation loves Legos, you know?
Right? I didn't like Legos. No, fuck you. You liked Legos.
Yeah, right. But here's the kicker. So we see the Legos, and then anyone ever heard of this kids' toys series called Rescue Heroes?
Rescue Heroes.
Yeah.
No.
Anyone? Okay. Well, Rescue Heroes is basically it's like a cartoon for kids where it's like firemen, policemen, you know, they save people, you know, and they're public servants, and you know, they're trying to say that, you know, public servants are, you know, are a valuable part of society.
These are the real heroes.
Yeah, which is a good message to send out.
Sure.
I think, right.
Sure.
But Rescue Heroes apparently does their own versions of toys for like Star Wars, and lo and behold, Brian and I found two. Toys that we were like, oh my god, this is fucking awesome. We found a snow speeder, like the old Empire Strikes Back snow speeder, mm-hmm. And then, you know, Luke with a lightsaber, and then Han in his, you know, his Dagobah gear. I mean, not Dagobah gear, his Hoth gear.
Yeah, he was in his Hoth gear, and Luke was in his X-Wing outfit.
Yeah, and then the other one was, did you find a picture of it?
Ready for this?
I don't know. Tell me if any of these look like what you saw.
Hang on.
Yes.
Looking... Yes. Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Speeder?
That's Rescue Heroes?
Yeah. I think it's by the same company that does it.
Is it from Hasbro?
I think so.
Well, we're better looking be. At it. And...
I think...
It says it's got a working harpoon and tow cable.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, Rescue
you think
Heroes.
That's,
yeah.
You think that's awesome? Here's the kicker. The other one they had that was awesome was the Millennium Falcon. And, like, the whole thing opened up, and it had, like, a spot for Luke, and there was the training remote that you could just bat around with your lightsaber.
Oh, they're called Play School Heroes.
Play School Heroes, okay. Well, so, you know, they had, like, a little area for Luke and the training remote. They even had an area, like, they literally had a little table set up with two little blue figurines on it. Mm-hmm. It was the holographic game that Chewie and R2 were playing.
Oh,
I suggest a new strategy, R2. Let the Wookiee win.
Right?
Wait, no. Oh, God, I'm going to be really angry at myself if I can't remember what that game is called.
Hollow Chess?
I think that might be what it is. But all I can say is, like, like out of all the Star Wars toys we saw there, like I mean Legos and you know that was those were probably the most badass ones we saw.
Oh, sorry, I was trying to remember what the card game was from Knights of the Old Republic. That's what I was trying.
Sabacc.
Yeah, I was thinking that was the chess game.
Actually, what? that was what.
Wasn't that from? I swear to God,
Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
no, in the game of Sabacc. Yeah. But yeah, so after we, you know, we booted around Walmart for like a couple more hours, and finally, you know, we finally saw.
No, we need to go back to something real fast before we get to that point.
Rewind.
On the back of that Snowspeeder one.
Oh yeah.
Okay. On the back of that Snowspeeder one, it said.
I almost forgot.
It said something along the lines of recreate one of the Rebel Alliance's greatest victories. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, actually, you know what? Give me a second. I think I have the picture.
Because as we all know, Hoth was such a great fucking victory for the Rebel Alliance.
Oh, can I read the product description?
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah, I have it right here. Yes. It retails for $21.99, ages 3 years to 6 years. Okay, Star Wars Jedi Force Play School Heroes Snowspeeder with Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. Skim across the surface of Hoth in a snowspeeder flown by two of the best pilots in the galaxy. This particularly nimble vehicle was used in one of the Rebel Alliance's biggest victories against the Evil Empire. Your favorite Star Wars heroes don't rely on strength and skill alone. Their masterful tactical maneuvering under pressure sparks the idea to trip up the enemy with a harpoon and tow cable as they dip and twist over the icy terrain.
Did they lose that battle?
Dude, they lost that battle so bad that Darth Vader fucking invaded the
right. Also, Han Solo was not in a snowspeeder. Which hero will pilot your ship on this critical mission? Well, Luke, because he was the one piloting the snowspeeder.
For fans, by fans.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this... I'm saying out of all the products there, that was by far the closest one to the original series.
Yeah.
Everything in the Star Wars aisle was basically prequel, and that was all you got. Right? And then it was like...
I think that's because the prequel movies were designed to sell toys.
Right. Well, see, that's
pretty
the thing.
Much.
This was like... I mean, there was like a prequel thing for this Play School Heroes thing, but the two coolest toys there were from the original films.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, look up the Millennium Falcon, okay. And you'll see what
school,
I'm talking about.
Play School Heroes Millennium Falcon?
Yeah. Yeah. That one is awesome.
My friends and I always refer to Hoth as the second of two Stormtrooper victories in the entirety of the Star Wars universe.
What's the other one, Cloud City?
I guess they kind of won there, didn't they?
All right.
Well, everyone escaped, though. So
I mean, you wouldn't call it a clear-cut victory, but...
No, I mean, when they invaded Leia's ship in the very beginning of New Hope.
Yeah, that wasn't really much of a victory either, because R2-D2 and they got away, too.
Yes.
So Hoth was their only victory. So
technically, Hoth.
Play School Heroes should not take that away from them.
Yeah.
Okay. So Star Wars Play School Heroes Jedi Force Millennium Falcon with Han Solo and Chewbacca playset retails for $39.99. Han Solo and Chewbacca have flown the Millennium Falcon in countless dangerous missions. It's one tough spaceship. They tuned its engines and upgraded its cannon, so it's prepared for anything, like delivering supplies to Endor or outrunning Imperial Star Destroyers. Open this Millennium Falcon playset to reveal the ship within. With its handle for, quote, flying action, you can imagine what happens as the Millennium Falcon, quote, cruises the stars in adventure after adventure.
Mind you, this is for kids, like, under 6 years old.
Turn the sensor dish or aim the, quote, blasting cannon. Your figures can escape when they need to, either through the trap door or into the secret compartment. Imagine adventures from
the thing had a trap door.
Wait. Imagine adventures from the included, quote, watch out for the Wookiee storybook, or create your own. Either way, the Star Wars fun will be epic.
Okay. They added a trap door, which was where they hid in A New Hope.
That's pretty sweet.
I mean, right?
That's pretty sweet.
That's got to be like somebody going, no, we are going to make this for kids. So they know how good the first movies were, you know, or at least,
I mean,
like,
I will admit they did make a bit of a goof in the description product, but I mean, that still doesn't...
That probably wasn't the person that created it. That was probably handed out to somebody in marketing who had no idea, who just watched the movie that day.
But because marketing guys are assholes.
But I mean, exactly. Hey, if you look at those products, those are actually pretty fucking cool.
All right. Well,
in my opinion.
Continue with your story.
All right, so... So after toys, we walked around the store for a couple more hours. We went to the pet end, watched a crab eat a dead fish.
Yeah. Way to bury the lead here, Colin.
um, I, I must have nodded off for a second. A crab ate what now?
We were watching. All right, basically,
well, crabs are scavengers.
Yes. Well, basically, we were over in the pet store aisle. Right, oh. We were over in the pet aisle, and we were looking at the fish. Right, because mm-hmm. Brian wanted to look at the fish.
I like the fishies.
So, he's like looking through the tanks, right? And he's looking. Apparently, Brian has a pastime where when he goes and looks at the pet store, you know, he looks for the dead fish. I don't know why, but it was interesting. I wanted to do it too.
Well, you know, my first job was working for a pet store, and I had to clean out dead fish and dead hermit crabs.
Yeah. Well, so
the pet store. You come for the live fish, you stay for the dead fish.
Yeah. But sure enough, one of the tanks, like literally, there's this fish dead at the bottom of the tank. It hadn't floated up yet because there's this hermit crab that's literally picking at its dead body.
Oh boy!
It was like poking it.
Oh, it was poking it at first. I was like, what the fuck is that thing doing? And then I literally saw it glom onto it and be like, I'm like, it's eating it. He's like, what?
They're eating it.
they're gonna eat me.
Oh my god!
Alright. That's four.
No, fuck you, it's three.
Oh, it's three?
Yeah, I'm keeping count.
Oh, the one before didn't count? All right, fair enough. Anyway, so we did the pet store bit, and that was funny. Like, I literally was laughing about that for a good 20 minutes. Then we left, and we went to Waffle House, because, hey, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was craving eggs.
Because hey, your life's
Huevos Rancheros.
Right?
Waffle House, because why not?
Huevos, because... Anyway.
Sorry.
I don't know what just happened. I
believe you said something about huevos.
Well, you
Brian just had a stroke.
Anyway. Please call 912.
He just derped.
He needs life alert.
he just Johnny derped. All right. Anyway. So we go to Waffle House, and the second we sit down, one of the cooks turns to Brian and is like, hey, man, isn't that from Green Lantern? Because Brian was wearing a Red Lantern shirt at the time. And Brian was like, yeah, it's the Red Lantern insignia. We got into this, like, 20-minute conversation with the Waffle House cooks about the DC comics.
And it wasn't just, like, one or two. It was all of them.
All of them.
It was like, holy shit, dude.
I was like, it's like, hey, we found our own. Yay.
At the Waffle House,
at the Waffle House, all of us.
That's an unexpected place.
Well,
geez, you usually walk in there, you know, I want waffles, but I don't want to eat it like I'm eating it in my bathroom.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's one step up from eating it off your bathroom floor.
I think it is.
It's actually quite funny because I was taking in a Mexican dinner and I was reading the Essential Black Panther that I mentioned during our DC Geeks crossover. And the waiter asked me, he suddenly got really excited. He's like, oh, you've read Avengers vs. X-Men, haven't you? How awesome is that? And I said, I don't really follow modern comics. I mostly like Silver and Bronze Age. And then he skulked away without accepting my tip.
Wow. Way to go, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go.
You could have made a friend, and instead you made an enemy.
Jordan, if you had said that to me, I would have been your friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway.
Feelings. Nothing more than
feelings.
Well, no,
I like Silver and Bronze Age. I mean, most modern comics really suck.
That's a conversation for another time.
I said most, not all.
Okay.
Anyway, so, all right, so we have this 20-minute conversation with them at Waffle House, and it's pretty cool. And then I believe it was what? I think that was it, right? Afterwards, I think it's like, oh, yeah. By the time we finish there, we walk out the door, and oh, look, the sun's coming up. I was like, so this is what 5 a.m. looks like. Normally, that's about right when I pass out. So
I've never met you before, but
damn, nice you're
to
gorgeous.
Meet you, 5 a.m.
Damn, you're beautiful.
You're amazing.
Anyway,
and I look like ass.
Baby, yeah. You're amazing.
So as we're and then right as we're leaving Waffle House, it's like the last part of the night. We're leaving Waffle House and we're about to get in my car. And this dude, I'm sorry, we're leaving Waffle House, and this dude yells at us from across the street, right? He's like, hey!
Mayor!
We look around for a second, thinking he's probably talking to someone else, right?
As is your natural reaction at 5 in the morning.
Pretty much.
Right. So we start, and Brian's just like, let's go. I'm like, all right, let's do that. So we walk to my car, and the guy, seeing that, you know, we're just walking to the car and completely ignoring, I guess he thinks we're ignoring him, he bolts across the street and walks up to us. And at this point, I couldn't get my keys out of my pocket fast enough.
Like
so.
A horror movie. Fumbling
right.
with the keys.
So the guy, you know, then says, you know, hey, I wrecked my car on 270. You know, I'm trying to get enough money to get a Greyhound bus home. You know, you think you guys could help me out? I was like, I can't, dude. I'm sorry. I don't have any cash. Brian, you know, being the good soul that he is, he gave the guy, you know, he took pity on the guy, gave him a 10 spot, right? Yeah. You know, and we, you know, the guy thanked him and, you know, we wished each other well and we drove, and we got in the car and drove off, right?
So, okay. So, we're in the car, right?
Yeah.
And we're driving for about maybe a minute or two. And I start thinking, and I say to Colin, I'm like, Colin, did you just say that his car was parked over in that lot?
No. How the conversation actually started was, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and I'm driving along. I'm like, Brian, I actually think I know that guy. And he was like, what? I think that dude...
That's my old college roommate.
No. I was like, I'm driving along, and I'm like, Brian, I think that dude tried to panhandle $10 off of me a year and a half ago outside of a Taco Bell parking lot with the exact same story. And Brian was like, really? I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the guy looked familiar. I just couldn't put my finger on it. But, and then Brian's like, wait a minute. Didn't he say that he had wrecked on 270? I'm like, yeah. But then, like, as he was saying, you know, as
his car was in a parking lot?
Didn't he say his car was right parked in the McDonald's parking lot, like right across the street? I'm like, I believe he did say that.
Wow, keep your facts straight, dude.
Right, and so it's like, you know, then Brian's like, you know, I feel bad now because, you know, because, you know, didn't, like, he got panhandled.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
So now Brian and I have developed a system so that, you know, we don't get into that situation again.
What's your system now?
Well, we're not going to tell it on the air because fuck it.
Oh, but we can do a visual reference in an audio. We can do a visual reference in an audio podcast.
What is it?
Okay, very clever.
Yes. They'll never know.
I like
never
it. Know. It's subtle.
So now, subtle. If you're going to try and panhandle them, people listening who are panhandlers, you got another thing coming.
Yeah.
So, okay, great story.
Crap, I don't have a Judas Priest button on this thing. Anyways.
I'll just sing it then. If you think I sit at home as the world goes by... I haven't said anything in a while, sorry.
Okay. You sort of aborted that one.
Right.
Anyway, so that was pretty much... We never did find out what happened in that drug bust or bomb threat.
Well, maybe we'll hear about it on the news, because six
one
cop
can only
cars,
help.
That
yeah.
is, that's got to be something.
Someone died behind Westview.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of what?
They didn't say. They just said... Some dude just found a dead person.
Werewolves?
Behind Westview. Everyone thought it was zombies at first.
No.
It wasn't zombies. That was last week.
Yeah.
Zombies are so passe.
I think it was the dude just had a heart attack and, like, no one noticed until...
A straight dude saw Twilight.
Something fishy's going on in this town.
Oh, yeah. That was another thing I noticed at Walmart. Apparently... Did anyone else hear about this? The two... Fuckwits from Twilight are getting married to each other.
What?
Yeah. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are actually getting married.
Is this perhaps some sort of publicity stunt? Are there any more Twilight movies coming out?
There's one.
There's the second half of Breaking Dawn.
Oh, they're Harry Pottering that?
Yep.
Pretty much. Yeah, because, you know, 40-year-old soccer moms, you know, they need their escapism.
Sure.
Don't we have romance novels for this?
Yeah.
Like,
whatever happened to the good old days of Fabio?
Yeah. What happened to Fabio? Fabio, what are you doing now?
Just real quick, I'm currently in the process of writing my review of Daybreakers for my for my own upcoming show, Geek Critique, which should be on the air by this July.
You Yay. Should watch.
Doing at filmnovels.com. Anyway, with Daybreakers, it's the ultimate. It's the ultimate movie that came out during the run of Twilight films in which vampires act like goddamn vampires. And I really did enjoy the first showing so much since the fact that I watched it again with the commentary track. And just as I was wondering, as thinking to myself, wait a minute, did Ethan Hawke's lead vampire character, did we ever find out what his name was? They call him Dalton, his last name. Hmm. Like, what's his first name? And as soon as I muse that, he enters the vampire pharmaceutical company where he works, and he swipes his badge, and it says his name is Dalton, Edward. And I briefly thought to myself, well, one, I feel angry now, and two, maybe they removed his name in post.
Huh. Now, let me ask you, Vampire Pharmaceutical Company, is this a pharmaceutical company run by vampires, or is it a company that produces pharmaceuticals for vampires?
Yeah, I think Blade 2.
Yeah, well, mostly he's trying to find a synthetic blood source because blood is becoming very scarce. It's kind of the point in which they abduct humans and then sort of hang them upside down with IV drips, stacked one on top of each other. It's more efficient that way than, you know, biting them in the neck and most of it dribbles down their clothes.
It's like, you know, it's like Blade meets the Matrix.
Yeah. Hey, you guys remember that movie with Josh Hartnett? Mm-hmm. 30 Days of Night?
Not particularly, no.
I remember 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything for that. I just want to know if people saw that movie.
No.
Sorry.
You remember that one movie?
That's a pretty cool
movie?
Concept, actually.
It's pretty interesting.
I mean, it's about vampires in Alaska where, you know, they only have daylight for, like, 1 hour out of the year during the winter, so like vampires are like, oh shit, Alaska is the place to go. Anyway,
I can't fault their logic.
I mean, yeah,
right?
Hey,
that's pretty sound fucking logic. I mean,
yeah.
Well, anyways, so we wanted to talk about this article, right, Brian? You wanted to talk about this article on Cracked.
Yeah.
Which I don't want this show to start turning into us discussing Cracked articles, but I know, Brian, you had specifically something that you wanted to say about this article. Five great ideas that the internet has ruined.
Well, it was mainly because I was just thinking up some ideas to talk about on the show today, during the week, and I was reading this article. And it was the title again was Five Great Things That the Internet Has Ruined, and you know it's going down the list. And number one was Facebook, right, or something.
Right.
Number two, I forget what number two was, but number three was podcasting. And the argument that this guy makes is that podcasting is kind of like a dime a dozen kind of thing. And if you're famous, go ahead and do it. But if you're not, shut the hell up. It's
basically the formula that the author Ian Forte made is.
Wow, that's a great name, Ian Forte.
You know, Ian Forte isn't exactly my métier.
I see what you did there.
Is there a rim shot on that sound effect thing?
There's gotta be.
Request doesn't count against his count, by the way.
That's fine.
If we request
I don't
a sound effect, it doesn't count.
I can give you
applause. Do the applause.
Tabs. Yeah, I'll give you an applause. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, say it again, Ben.
Thank you.
Okay.
Did we ever establish that he had the sound effects box?
Yeah.
I don't think we did.
Oh. Brian has a sound effects
box.
Trying to
keep it hitting.
Yeah.
So the formula was, does anyone know who you are? If yes, then podcast. If no, then shut up. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting idea, Ian Forte. Let's see. You're a blogger. Does anyone know who you are? No. Then shut the hell up.
No. Okay. Let me just say, I'm not trying to get bitter about this. I think it's a great article, and I actually agree with everything he says. I mean, yes, he's totally correct. Like, there are a shitload of podcasts out there. Most of them are terrible, and most of them are by people who have probably no business being on a podcast.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, we're still doing a podcast.
Nervous glances.
Yeah.
Visual references in audio podcast.
No, I mean, here's the thing. It's supposed to be funny, so of course it's going to be overly harsh in order to get laughs. But I mean, I totally agree with what you said, right? Like, most people are not interested in listening to other people talk who aren't famous.
Yeah.
But my response to that is simply, if if we were to be turned away from doing any activity simply because we're not already famous, we wouldn't do anything.
And it's just, it's other thing where...
Everyone starts out somewhere.
You know, the main majority of the public are idiots and only react to everything that's familiar. Right. They only react to familiarity. They hear a voice they're not used to hearing, or they a person that they're not used to listening to, they won't listen to them.
Right.
It's just without meeting them first and being recognizing them.
That's why you're either setting the trend or you're chasing after it.
That's why there's so many pilots. That's why there's so many pilots that get rejected.
Right.
But
so,
I mean,
the fact that I'm well aware that we fall into the category of people that he is lambasting doesn't deter me from doing a podcast.
Oh,
because
no.
Because if we have faith and confidence in the material that we're producing, and so that's all that counts.
Yeah.
If you are confident in what you create, eventually people will take notice and they will listen.
Yeah.
Having said that, there is a very good point that the guy made, though, where in podcasting, there is no runtime.
Right.
You set the rules. You know, you make the rules for your own show. So one episode could be like 2 hours, one episode, and then it could be like 10 minutes the next, and then you can go 3 months without a new episode.
Yeah, I mean, or to use his statement, Gary Fuckchuckle's Smile Time podcast can be 17 hours straight, then have no new material for a month, then a 30-minute episode followed by an hour episode later that same day, then nothing for a week until his three fans renounce him forever. Also, having nothing to say doesn't stop most podcasts from existing. Yes, again, all good points. Like, let's use this right now. Let's use this as our opportunity to give advice to other people who want to start their own podcast. Not that, like, we are kings of podcasting, because we still have a ways to go, but I think we've been doing it long enough. We're on 72 episodes. We have a not tiny audience. I mean, we have actual listeners.
And we have a history of interviewing some remarkable people.
Yeah, we've interviewed interesting people. I think, done some interesting things on this podcast. And I would say we've gotten into a pretty consistent format with a record schedule and also format. Like, Boldly Going Nowhere episodes are a general 45 minutes. Justin's Jukebox.
That's funny because you say that right, like almost as right as we hit the
45
minutes.
We're at 45 minutes, right? Yeah. Well, this will be a little longer than I say 45 minutes to an hour.
Is the usual, yeah.
Which is a good one.
ISH on there.
Yeah.
It could
run longer, but that's if we okay. That's if we're talking about something.
Right. Stop undermining my point. My point
They're
is
antithesis.
These podcasts thesis. Generally 45 minutes to an hour, and then all of our other podcasts, Justin's Jukebox, BJ at the Movies, BGN Correspondence, and One Drunk Geek are generally 15-20 minutes. Like, we've been pretty consistent about sticking that, and we're pretty consistent about putting them up at least one a week.
Yeah.
So that's our first advice to everyone, right? Is be consistent. Try and stick to a consistent schedule and a consistent time. Okay. What's another piece of advice?
I can think of one. I'm not certain if this is advice exactly, but I know it's a major motivating factor for myself. I mean, people can take it for advice, certainly, but since you guys have been sweet enough to invite me onto your podcast, I've noticed that that primarily what I talk about are other kinds of media. I offer my critique on movies or TV shows or comics or video games. And in fact, with my upcoming show, Geek Critique on www.filmlovables.com, look for it in July, that is all I do, is that I review other forms of media. And and I think that the primary reason I do that, in addition to just, you know, obviously having a lot of faith in my own opinion, is that other people can share these media. You know, if I talk about a movie, movies by definition are things that other people can see for themselves. So I find that is what I really look forward to in podcasts is reviews and critiques, and perhaps even bitching about other kinds of movies, because you know those can be personal experiences, but by definition they are shared experiences.
Yeah,
I agree.
And so then the next piece of advice is have decent equipment, because that is something that we have worked very hard to achieve.
I was just about to say, like, if you are starting your own podcast, sound is key. If you don't have good sound, people can just turn you off and turn it off easily.
And they will.
Because I can't stand when there's bad sound. it's something I'll listen to it if it's somebody like really famous, we've had some sound issues before, but I think we take pride in having decent sound.
Yeah, and we have received compliments from the guests that we've had on this program about our setup and our sound.
Well, and surprisingly enough, and to jump on that, it's not only our setup and the way the interview sounds, but we've actually also been commenting on our professionalism and for instance, I was talking with Brian Brown not too long ago. Brian Brown was one of our first interviewees at SPX.
Right, at the Small Press Expo.
Right.
Yeah. And Brian and I were discussing, and Brian said that it was a real pleasure to have us interview him. He thought our questions were extremely, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intelligent?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, he enjoyed, inquisitive? He enjoyed the interview so much that he wants us to interview him again, but he actually wants to come on the show.
As a guest.
Yeah.
And not just an interview. Yeah, because I would love, that's the next stage. I would like to get guests, not just like interviewees, but actually like what we're doing now, just banter with us and talk.
Yeah, that's Bully Going Nowhere. That's the show.
Right.
Like, just to key it in is what. And my sister is putting, she put her face at just
awkwardly
now,
close.
Awkwardly close, right by my face. And I turned, I'm just feeling like kind of like a warmth of orb.
Yeah.
And I see she's probably drinking wine right now. Yeah.
She almost tripped over a garbage bag as she was backing off.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a classy one.
Yeah, she's classy. She puts one foot.
All right,
that was
only four. Okay, but as Colin was getting at, that's what the next piece of advice is, and this is what will set you apart from all the other just anonymous voices in the crowd. Act like a professional, even if you're not. Treat it like.
Oh yeah, because we're totally not.
That leads me on to my point. Show prep. Prep your shows before you do them, people.
Yeah.
You can't just flip on the mic and go, today, shit.
Yeah, don't just turn it on and talk and expect it to be good.
Yeah, you have to.
Some people can do that, but they've been doing it for years.
Outline. There's little bullet points. If you have Microsoft Word or whatever you're using for like a editor, just start putting points down on what you want to hit and what you want the show to be about.
Yeah.
There's a point people can actually follow that point line.
Also, I have a piece of advice for people who might have done it before and they're looking to do it again, but they feel like, maybe their previous idea didn't work. Try it again. Because if something didn't work beforehand, that doesn't mean that it can't work again with a little bit of tweaking. Because
well, that's how you learn.
Because when I first started podcasting, I did a show called Two Geeks, Two Beers and a Podcast. And don't worry, I'm not plugging it because it's defunct. But because I'm a host of BGN now. Having said that, the format originally was that me and a friend would sit around, we would drink beer, review it, and then do our show. And it worked, but then, it kind of failed. It faltered because we weren't meshing well. So I come on here and I say, hey, wait a minute, I still want to review beer. Yeah. So I reformatted the show, and I think it's been a success so far.
Yeah.
So, give it a shot. Give it another shot. See if you can make it work.
All right. So just to summarize. Go ahead, John.
Well, I was about to say the point he was making that that he set everything up and now you have that particular genre and it's in a particular niche. Find that niche.
Yeah,
that
find
you niche. Need that niche. Niche? Is that niche. How it's pronounced?
It's niche.
It's niche?
It's niche.
I've heard niche.
I think both are acceptable.
Tomato.
To dictionary.com.
Scholars maintain that the true pronunciation was lost ages ago.
You say tomato, I say fuck you.
All right. say, hey, Sean. Sean, you say potato, I say potato.
Potato.
Let's work the whole thing out.
That's a whole lot of starch.
Okay. So just to summarize, our tips are...
Professionalism.
One.
Already. You were ruining it. Okay.
I know. I'm just...
Already.
Okay. So just to run down, our tips are... 1, be consistent. 2, have good equipment. 3, prep your show. 4, act professional, even if you're not. And 5...
especially if you're not.
Yeah.
5, have fun with it, and don't, for God's sakes, after the first week of the podcast and after you had done like 2 or 3 episodes, don't all go out and make a t-shirt about your thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where it's going, you don't expect listeners at first. Do not expect listeners.
Let your material speak for itself.
Exactly.
But, pretty much.
And okay. Do it because you want to do it because it's fun.
Yeah. All right.
Well, before we wrap up, we must carry out our new segment that we introduced our last week, which is Question of the Week.
Yay, Question of the Week. Yeah. Aww.
Aren't you guys going to like sing or whatever?
Question of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's 5.
There you
bullshit.
Go.
Bullshit.
All right, so last...
That's 5.
Last week, our question of the week was, what are some of the dumbest things that you have wasted inordinate amounts of your time doing? This question is similar to that one. This week's question of the week. What are some of the dumbest things that you have wasted insane amounts of money on? So, things that you wish you could go back in time and go to your younger self and slap yourself across the face and say, no, don't buy that because you're going to spend a shitload of money on that and then you're going to wish you could have that money back.
Fuck it.
So since, as per the new tradition that I'm setting for this question, since I'm asking the question, I'll be the first one to answer it. But I won't always be the one asking the question. Next week we'll have one from Brian. But I have 2. So number 1 is Warhammer 40K. I started playing Warhammer 40K back in, I think it was 7th or 8th grade in middle school. Now, if you're not familiar with what Warhammer 40K is, Warhammer 40K is a tabletop wargaming game from Games Workshop where you have little plastic miniature models of different armies, and you assemble them, you paint them, and then you put together these armies, and then you fight out your armies according to a very complex set of rules.
I have to say one thing. When life gives you lemons, blood for the blood god.
And, of course, the setting for this game, if imagine Lord of the Rings crossed with Halo.
Yeah, it takes place in the grim future of the 41st millennium. There is only war. So there are...
Lord of dude, the Flood.
I used to run some shit with the Tyranid army, dude.
Yeah.
I fucking love the Tyranid army. Anyways.
Now... Even if you've never played Warhammer, you've probably seen its influences because Warhammer has been around since like, I think like the 60s, maybe 60s or 70s,
something like that.
And yeah. So you might have seen the influences in a lot of places. For example, the Space Marines in Warhammer were several of the armies in Warhammer were the inspiration for the war armies in StarCraft, like the Space Marines. The Marines in StarCraft are based on the Space Marines in Warhammer.
The Terrans, yes, and then the Tyranids are the Zerg.
The Zerg are based on the Tyranids.
And the Elders are Protoss, right?
Yes, and the Elders are it's Eldar.
Like,
yeah.
Could you,
like I'm hearing words, but I'm not understanding.
Could you argue that this might have been like the precursor to the whole Space Marine subgenre?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Also, there was originally, before 40K, there was just Warhammer.
Yes, Warhammer was a fantasy game first, so there were fantasy versions. But 40K, I think, has become a lot more popular than the fantasy version.
Yeah, 40K blows the original out.
And, again, I don't want to get too detailed into this because it's incredibly nerdy, but basically the army I played was called Imperial Guard, and they were like the humans. They were just the basic. They didn't have magic powers. They didn't have any. They had no superhuman strength. They were just plain old regular humans. What they did have was A, numbers, and B, heavy artillery. The Imperial Guard army, their one asset that they have is big, huge freaking tanks. And that's why I thought it would be fun to play them. But problem with Imperial Guard is that you need a shitload of them in order to be effective. And the problem with Warhammer is that the more models you need to buy, the more money you need to sink into it. So for someone to play Space Marines, which is like the most overpowered army in the game... For me to have a similarly powerful army to someone playing Space Marines, I would have to spend probably twice as much money as them, you know, real-world dollars. in order to have the same type of army. So I probably over the course of middle school and early years of high school probably sunk close to $2,000 into Warhammer.
Holy
over the course of a couple years. And I have not played it since high school, probably since junior year of high school.
You know, I could introduce you to somebody.
Thank you. I'm sure there are plenty of people at the Haven who play Warhammer. I mean, I know I've seen the armies there on display. I'm actually probably going to donate my armies to the Haven.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I actually just did that today.
Yes, I have a massive. Well, I only gave you just the tanks, but I have a massive Imperial Guard army, like a 3,000-point army. Which, if you know anything about Warhammer, that's a big army.
Yeah.
And then just the other thing before I'll pass over to someone else because we're the other thing is swords. Like swords from the Renaissance Fair, because when I first went to the Renaissance Fair, I was like, holy shit, you can just buy swords here. I'm going to be so badass when I have these swords. When everybody sees all these swords that I have, they're going to be like, man, he's so cool. And then I was like,
I think you're cool, Justin.
Yeah. They're just for display purposes, though. I'm not going to, yeah, like, it's purely art. It's tasteful, you know, because they're for display. Even though in, like, I knew, and everyone else knew, that as soon as I got home, I was going to stand there and pose with the swords and take pictures of them. And Justin, I'm probably the least physically intimidating person that I know.
Hey, Justin.
So the idea of me posing with, like, a like 5-foot-long claymore, pretty...
So how many of your lamps did you accidentally cut in half?
Well,
only 13?
I put them away, and I realized that I had crossed the line when I started buying things that weren't swords, like a fantasy axe, and that is actually what it said on the box, fantasy axe.
Oh my fantasy axe!
Yeah.
Kate, you have my sword.
Kate, you want to come over here?
Believe me, I'm not proud of any of this, but I believe in being open and honest on this podcast. I bought a $40 fantasy axe.
Was it
actually sharp? They had to put little rubber tubing over the blade.
Was it axe spelled AX or AXE?
I think it was AXE.
Okay.
And it had a big skull in the center, and it had a little pokey thing at the top.
So it was an Urgrosh.
Hello.
Thank you, someone, for out-nerding me on this podcast.
That's what I'm here for.
So I don't even know how much I spent on swords, but I had samurai swords, I had a claymore, I had like a cavalry saber.
Go in your basement, guys. You go in my mom's house.
And I still have them.
Ah! Find this!
We'll get it in a second!
Alright, Sean.
I'm ready for initiative!
Now that I have thoroughly embarrassed myself, it's time for other people to do so.
By the way, on my bucket list is to dress up as Captain Kirk and go to a Renaissance Festival. Anyways, moving on.
Alright. I'm about to admit what I used to spend my money on back in, let's see, middle school, about around 8th grade. Probably through until about my junior year of high school. And then I finally just dropped the habit. The habit and the hobby would be skateboarding.
Mm.
I used to be a skater. I know.
Yeah, bro?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I was a skater for all of 5 minutes and like...
No, I was in it the winter.
Oh, you were a legit skater?
I was legit.
Did you do the grinds and the wheelies and all that?
Dude, did you do grindy thingies?
Could you pop shove it into an ollie?
Nollie, heel flip, no slides, what were a thing.
Please tell me, you did at some point gleam the cube, correct?
No.
Could you do a 720 kickflip into a varial?
I walked down to that one.
I played a lot of Tony Hawk back in the day, guys. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to play that video game all the time. I was so obsessed with this, and I was a little, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm a husky, and like I was when I was a kid. I have a larger bone structure than all the other skinny fucks that were.
Yeah, I'm a little fat. Let's get put.
So anyway, I was breaking all these boards. These boards, and just the deck, they're called decks. DECK. Decks. And they cost about $70 a pop. Yeah. I went through a skateboard about one every 3 months.
Lauren, can you confirm this?
Lauren confirms this.
Don't
don't forget the shoes. The many, many the pairs shoes. Of shoes.
The pairs
Your
of
Vans.
Shoes.
The clothes.
No, Vans. DCs. DVS.
Chuck Taylors.
ES. There's a bunch of brands that I spent, like the clothes.
Then the clothes.
The whole thing.
And.
So I finally decided.
And the toys.
And the Tech Deck toys.
Tech Decks. Oh, man.
I was in it to win it. I actually went. I went to a thing. It was a skateboard company called Enjoy, and they had this guy named Rondy Mullen. You probably recognize him.
Yeah.
He was in the Dark Slide. He flipped the skateboard over and grinded on the grip tape. Whoever, if you don't know what you mean, you're just like, he's talking gibberish. I was really nerdy into that, and
I know what you're talking about.
I know what he's talking
we
about.
We went to go see him at these things called demos. Basically, all these professional skateboarders come into it was Mount Airy Skate Park, actually, just down, like, almost down the street from
here.
Yeah,
Mount Airy actually is a pretty nice skate park.
It is a really decent skate park. I had my, birthday party, twice.
Dad started buying you shoes at Payless because you kept running
through them. Well, yeah, Payless, I was, looking at, $70 pair of shoes, and then there's a $15 pair of shoes that last me about the same time. I was like, I'm switching over.
Mom and Dad are like, we're broke.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you a question. As someone who hung out with people who were skaters, did you despise rollerblading?
Yeah.
Because the people I knew
I was on the bat.
They
I was on
hated bandwagon. Rollerblading, and you know what they called rollerblading?
What?
Fruit booting.
Oh, yeah. We had fruit booters.
Yeah.
I was a roller.
You were a fruit booter?
Roller dickers. Roller Dickers is another one. Roller Dickers. Gay Roller Dickers. Gay. What?
Remember the old skate rink
Anyways, not just that. It was personal injury. You know how many times you mess up skateboarding and how many percentage of try-fail to actually try
win.
I thrashed it. And I started, you get so angry because you're so frustrated because you fail so many times. You start throwing your board. And it's like an anger management issue, taking to the extreme. So, anyways, I mean, if we're going to ballpark
go to KB Toys and buy you one of the crabby ones, you went right home and broke it that instant?
Oh, yeah. Because it was a cheap-ass thing.
I think we're learning a lot about Sean's personality through this.
Yeah. It was a cheap-ass thing, and then...
he gets mad when things break.
Well, I did.
Or he breaks things when he gets mad.
Big hands.
These hands are big, strong. All right, hands.
Well, we're running along, so I don't want everyone else to go as well. So.
Yeah, about the same amount that you did. It was probably about $2,000 worth of just crap.
Someone else's money.
Of someone else, my parents' money.
Well, a lot of mine was my parents' money, too. Okay.
All right, Brian.
Brian, go.
What have I spent the most money on? Pot. No, I'm kidding. It's a safe place. You don't have to. You don't have to hide.
I'm dizzy.
I was gonna play the.
All right. So all right. It's five per person.
It doesn't count if I use it.
Five per person. All right. He's looking. He's reading.
As he's looking.
All right. Oh, that was terrible comedic timing because I had to find the button.
Timing!
I got it.
All right, so Brian, what was the most you ever spent on?
Pot, no kidding.
No, if it is, cool.
Let's see. Definitely collectible action figures and comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then DVDs. I have spent more money on DVDs than I know what to fucking do with. Hey, all right. I've probably spent about $2,000 on DVDs.
Wow.
There's actually a box set of Doctor Who. It's the complete David Tennant years that I spent $200 on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, $2,000 would probably be five box sets. Those things are so freaking expensive.
The thing is, I really want to get the first season. But actually, I don't want to anymore because I have Netflix. But before, I was actually looking at it. $80 for season one of Doctor Who. I was like, no, I'm not spending $80
for one season.
Yeah, it's not even a good season. But I have spent an enormous amount of money on DVDs and
2K on DVDs,
pretty much. Uh-huh. And then little things here and there. I spent again, $300 on that lightsaber.
Yeah.
When it first came out, because I was like, I need to have this lightsaber.
I really don't call that. I think that's a good investment. I'm sorry.
I mean,
you know, those things depreciate as soon as you take them out of the stores. So.
No, you may be taking it out of the box. Anyways,
you know, kittens lose condition. Half their value once you drive them off the lot. Yeah.
Okay, so 2K on Warhammer, 2K on skateboards.
I think we're just wrapping this at 2K.
I was going to say, unless Jordan... Unless
2K
Jordan,
on DVDs and marijuana.
If Jordan doesn't top 2K, I'm going to definitely thrash all of you.
Okay. Anymore, right? So, you know, it's good.
There we go, moving on to Jordan.
I'm quite certain I do not top 2K on this, but that's because of judicious bartering. I'll get to that in a moment. Marvel maquettes.
Oh, yeah.
Maquettes, a foot, 4 inch tall statues of Marvel Comics characters. If you were to look up the Randy Bowen designs, online, then you'll probably see a bunch of really nice painted statues.
Randy Bowen statues that
run $250 to $300 on average. I have 14 of them. However, I can say with the utmost certainty that I still kept it underneath $2,000. Because I started buying them at comic conventions, and here's a fun thing: those things are very hard to get back in their packaging. So if you wait until the last 15 minutes before the dealer's room closes and say, "Oh, hey, that Doctor Doom up there, yeah, it sure would be a pain in the ass for you to, you know, to stuff that back in a styrofoam box and take it back to Virginia Beach. I'll take it for half the ticket price." It almost always works.
So basically what you're saying is you hang around like a creeper and then swoop in like a vulture.
I don't hang around per se. I scope the place out a day before it closes and then come back.
Okay. Not at now, all like a creeper.
And of course my good friend Steve taught me this this process, and if he were here he'd be the first one to mention this. He is Jewish.
Okay.
It's his birthright.
Of course.
So, yes, I have 14 of them, and they are in no particular order, Doctor Strange, The Vision, Moon Knight, Quicksilver, Wolverine, Iceman, I have 90s Jean Grey, modern Emma Frost, and Mystique, who are all arranged in kind of a Charlie's Angels a pose. I have Doctor Doom, Carnage, The Lizard, Mysterio, and Gladiator, the mohawked leader of the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, not that schmo with the buzzsaws on his hands that Daredevil slaps around. So that's what I have. And you mentioned earlier that by mentioning this, I should want to go back in time to my younger self and slap myself around for sinking money in this. And I'm not sure I'd do that, honestly, because while it is an incredible investment, and if I ever move, I do keep the styrofoam boxes for that exact occasion, and they are really cluttering the hell out of my closet and my boiler room in my apartment right now. But on the other hand, my apartment has eggshell white walls and ceilings and beige carpeting, which I am not allowed to change.
That sucks.
So I think they add a real splash of color to the ambiance. They really bring the room together.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't necessarily have to be something you regret. I mean, I think actually if I were to go back in time, I probably would still have bought the Warhammer, because at the time that was something that I enjoyed. I enjoyed painting the models and playing the game, but the swords, that is something that I would go back and slap myself, because I'm like, well, when I'm an adult and I have my own place, I'll have like a glass display case and my apartment will look awesome. And I'm like, no, you will never do that. All right, so Colin.
The sad thing is, there are two things that I honestly have spent the most money on.
Uh-oh!
Yeah. They were two one-time situations, and to be perfectly fair, both times I probably topped out and doubled up on any of y'all.
Okay.
Altogether.
Okay.
Wow.
The first,
So give us the figure.
All right. Well, the first one, I co-financed the movie that we wrote with Josh, so I dropped about $5,000 into that.
Well, hold up, though. I mean, is that something that you regret doing?
No. Like you said,
I mean, that wasn't the point. That wasn't the point of this question. The question wasn't what have you spent a lot of money on. It's stupid things.
All right. Well,
I wouldn't say financing a movie. That's like your dream is to be a director. I don't think financing a movie is a stupid decision.
Well, obviously, we can't say it was a stupid decision until it's done.
Right.
But it's not done.
If it never gets made, then
yes, that would have been a dumb call. And then the second one, which is the dumbest one I've done, there was a chick who I was really into in college, and thank you.
How many was that for you?
That was three for him.
He's making sure he uses all five. And
yeah, I was trying to.
So yeah, so I was really into her. I mean, I was retarded for this chick, and then about halfway through my junior year, she ends up getting arrested, and I paid her bail.
Wow, how much was that?
$4,000.
Wow, what did she do?
Legally, I'm not allowed.
You're not allowed. Marijuana.
I'm not allowed to say.
All right. So,
I wish I could because it's a funny story.
So is that all of us?
Hey, bibbidi boobity bobbidi.
You may realize that Sean really went through a character arc tonight. He started out absolutely despising the sound effects box and chastising Brian every time he used it, and in the last 10 minutes, he used it about 7 times.
Actually, I used it five times. I used my
he's,
five.
He's keeping track. So, okay, sorry. Let's wrap up here. What have we learned tonight? We have learned that Frederick is a scary place.
Yes.
We have learned that kids today are really spoiled with their toys.
We have learned that crustaceans are scavengers.
We have learned that crabs are scavengers. And we have learned that nerds, even though we are smart people, are terrible with money.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I learned that I can make a very subtle reference to the Big Lebowski, and no one at the table will perk up when I say it.
I have learned that if I try and do a reference, you probably you're using the mic, I can't do it. So, I'm kidding.
All right. Well,
your own mic.
All right. Hey.
Well, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro. I've been waiting all night for that.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.